A lion's head looks out from a crest formed by a garland of film, the trademark of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, which features the words Ars Gratia Artis. Light flares from a torch held aloft by a robed woman standing on a pedestal in front of a sky dominated by towering clouds. Columbia, a Sony home entertainment company. Towering crags rise out of a shining sea. Two powerful cars speed along a tunnel which runs along the coast. A shining wheel flashes, a driver's eyes are fixed on the road, a gun is cocked, and the driver checks his rearview mirror. He guns his shining Aston Martin past a line of traffic as his pursuers open up. Bullet holes pepper the Aston's windows. A tire on a truck bursts and it swerves into the Aston's path, sliding along the wall as James Bond, the steely-eyed Aston driver, brakes hard. He swerves past the truck, which pulls out on him. A piece of metal protruding from the front of the truck punches into the car's door, locking the vehicles together. Bond brakes hard, causing the metal to rip his door off and sending the Aston spinning down the road in front of the truck. He regains control and speeds off. The two lanes ahead are blocked by trucks, one coming right for him. He ducks into a gap, but his pursuers hit the truck head-on. Another Alfa Romeo is still in the chase. Approaching a traffic jam, he swerves left, flying down another tunnel. The chase attracts the attention of a cop. Station for Patrol 48, grey Aston Martin followed by black Alfa Romeo, driving towards the quarries, gunshot fire. The cops climb into a Land Rover to give chase. The cars speed over a bridge. The Land Rover heads off, blue lights flashing. Coming out of a tunnel and rounding a corner, Bond skids the car to avoid the police Land Rover, which blocks the road in front of him, and heads off through the dusty quarry, the Alfa still on his tail. He swerves past tracked excavators and down a winding, bumpy track in front of a smoothly quarried rock face. The cops open fire and get blasted from the Alfa. The Land Rover plows into a building and off the edge of a cliff. Bond calmly changes gear. His eyes widen as the Land Rover bounces across the track right in front of him. The Alfa gunman is leaning out of the car's passenger window. Bond ducks as glass and bullets fill the Aston. The Alfa draws alongside and the two cars trade dusty paintwork. A bulldozer looms in front of them. Both cars swerve round it. Bond draws a machine gun. The Alfa hurtles off a precipice. Bond drives the dusty, battered Aston into a medieval Italian town with stone buildings and narrow streets. A title reads Siena, Italy. A lofty campanile bell tower dominates the huddle of buildings. Wooden gates open, and Bond heads down a long, straight brick tunnel. He stops, gets out, and opens the boot. A man blinks up at him.
It's time to get out.
Bond is silhouetted in a pool of light. Albert R. Broccoli's Eon Productions Limited presents Daniel Craig as Ian Fleming's James Bond, 007. Bond fires a bullet in a super slow-mo burst of smoke. The bullet streams smoke. Quantum of Solace. Starring Olga Kurylenko, the bullet travels over sand dunes. Matthew Almerich. Bond moves through drifting sand. Giancarlo Giannini. Wind whips at the sand. Bond raises his pistol. Gemma Arterton, Anatole Taubman, stars dust a night sky. Jesper Christensen, David Harbour. Bond casts a shadow on the sand. Rory Kinnear, Tim Pigott-Smith, Joaquin Cosio. A grid of light surrounds the sun. And a shadowy Bond aims his pistol, with Jeffrey Wright. Bond's shadow passes over the dunes. A red dot travels sideways. and Judy Dench as M. A naked woman is silhouetted by the sun. Associate producer Andrew Noakes. Production executive David Pope. Crew names appear over the title graphics. The naked woman lies over the dunes in half light. Bond stands in the low light gun at the ready. Fine sands flow like liquid. A woman's naked body emerges from the flowing sands. Bond turns, aiming his gun. A globe-shaped grid of light surrounds the scene. The naked woman stands in silhouette. Casting, Debbie McWilliams. Main title designed by MK12. Bond falls through billowing sand. Sand and stars swirl against the grid of light. The grid flexes, turns, and warps as the sand billows against starry darkness. A crowd of naked women pose in silhouette around a glaring sun, forming circles of bodies which are animated into a flickering blur. They dissolve away, leaving several bombs floating through space. Sand swirls through the grid of light, streaming off naked dancers. A kaleidoscope of women's silhouettes pose in high heels, forming a slowly turning pattern. Bond falls towards the expanding pupil of an eye. Sand engulfs a pistol as Bond falls in slow motion onto the sandy ground. He raises his pistol and fires in super slow motion. Written by Paul Haggis, Neil Purvis, and Robert Wade. The bullet spins slowly as it flies. The red dot travels sideways. Produced by Michael G. Wilson and Barbara Broccoli. Sun flares behind a pile of naked women. Directed by Mark Forster. The bullet lands in an explosion of sand. A red and yellow checked flag billows in the breeze. A procession of people in bright medieval costumes parades around a square watched by huge crowds.
Don't bleed to death.
Bond dumps the man from the boot on a chair in a cellar. M and another agent watch.
Hello, Mitchell.
Bond?
The Americans are going to be none too pleased about this.
I promised them the sheaf and they got the sheaf.
They got his body.
If they'd wanted his soul, they should have made a deal with the priest.
Has he said anything?
No.
Going to check the perimeter, Mum.
Bond gulps whiskey.
You look like hell. When's the last time you slept? Vesper's boyfriend, Yusuf Kabira, the one who was abducted in Morocco, the one she was trying to save. His body was washed up on a beach in Ibiza. We're meant to believe the fish did that to his face. His wallet and ID were in his pocket.
Well, that's convenient.
Quite. Which is why I did a DNA check on a lock of his hair found in Vesper's apartment. It's not him.
A lock of his hair? I wouldn't have thought Vesper the sentimental type.
Well, we never really know anyone, do we? But I do need to know, Bond. I need to know that I can trust you.
And you don't?
Well, it'd be a pretty cold bastard who didn't want revenge for the death of someone he loved.
You don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to go chasing him. He's not important. And neither was she.
It's clear, Mum.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Shall we?
Brightly attired horsemen enter the square, which is laid out as a racetrack. A chair is dragged across a stone floor. Bond sits next to Mr. White, joined by M.
Are you going to tell us who you work for?
I was always very interested to meet you. I'd heard so much about you from Vesper. The real shame is that if she hadn't killed herself, we would have had you too. I think you would have done anything for her.
Well, you know you're not in Britain, and God knows where you'll be tomorrow. Which should tell you that eventually you will tell us about the people you work with. And the longer it takes, the more painful we'll make it.
You really don't know anything about us. It's so amusing because we are on the other side thinking, oh, the MI6, the CIA, they're looking over our shoulders, they're listening to our conversations, and the truth is you don't even know we exist.
Well, we do now, Mr. White. And we're quick learners.
Oh, really? Well, the first thing you should know about us is that we have people everywhere. Am I right?
Mitchell drops one agent, then as M goes down, the horse race starts. Bond leaps on the man and grabs the gun. The prisoner's hit and goes down. Bond disarms Mitchell and kicks the gun away, then gets booted to the ground. Mitchell goes for the gun and runs off. The fast and furious Palio horse race thunders around Siena's main square. Mitchell pounds down spiral stairs and into water at the base of a tower, then dives through an iron gate. Bond ignores the stairs and takes a flying leap after him. In the race, a rider falls. Bond chases his man down a watery tunnel, but a gate bars his way. He changes direction. The underground chase is as furious as the race above. Mitchell crashes through some supports, and the roof starts to cave in on Bond. The crowds cheer enthusiastically. Mitchell's on a ladder to the surface as Bond picks himself up and keeps going. Fireworks signify that the race has a winner. The track is invaded, and amidst the tears and celebrations, Bond emerges from a manhole. Mitchell barges his way through the throng. Bond follows. Mitchell fires towards Bond, hitting a woman, then scrambles over a barrier onto the racetrack. 007 sprints in pursuit. The chase moves through a courtyard, then through a door and upstairs. Mitchell barges into an elderly woman lifting a crate of fruit on a rope. The crate crashes to the ground. Mitchell leaps across tiled rooftops, his pursuer following relentlessly. He takes a massive leap between buildings. Crowds cluster around the shot civilian. A round strikes nearby as Bond leaps. He lands, slides down the tiles, then jumps again, landing heavily on a ledge. His quarry is on a roof across from and above him. He jumps down onto a balcony, leaps onto another and hauls himself up on the metal railings. He bursts into a room, runs through the apartment and sees Mitchell climbing onto another roof a short distance away. He jumps from a window onto the roof of a bus. He gets to his feet and jumps from the vehicle onto another ledge, then shins up a drainpipe. Face set grimly, he's now on the same roof as his target. Mitchell arrives at the top of an empty tower. He leaps for a flight of steps, dislodging masonry. Bond follows and fires as the double agent runs out of sight. Bond hauls on the bell ropes, then heads up to the belfry, gun at the ready. The area is empty. Mitchell attacks from a perch outside the tower. Bond grabs his arm and hits out with an elbow, but both fall through a glass roof and onto a scaffold beneath. Bond's gun falls to the floor far below. Hanging by one hand, Bond tries to pull down the scaffolding beneath his adversary. Mitchell falls but grabs onto a rope. It swings, knocking over a pane of glass, which shatters, sending vicious shards raining down. The rope gantry swings and a crate of bricks falls from the other end. Bond also grabs a rope, and the two men end up facing each other, dangling on ropes at either end of the steel gantry. They trade blows and smash into a scaffold which topples over, pulling on the ropes, hauling them into the glass roof. Mitchell falls onto the scaffold. Leg caught in a rope, Bond plummets but is stopped just before hitting the ground near the gun. The gantry turns, moving Bond away from the gun and pulling Mitchell off the scaffold. The rogue agent lands on a scaffold tower as Bond pulls at the rope round his leg. Mitchell climbs for a gun on the scaffold. Bond's trying to reach the one on the ground. Both scoop up the weapons. Bond fires. The crowds are dispersing in the town square. A police car makes its way down a crowded street decked with colourful flags. Covered in dust, Bond strides through the crowds towards the wooden gate and the tunnel. Blood stains the cellar floor, but the prisoner, Mr. White, is gone. Bond stares dispassionately at the scene. It's raining. A title reads London. A black Range Rover arrives at a high-rise block of flats. M stands looking out from one of the balconies. Bond emerges from the Range Rover and enters through the building's glass door. Ignoring a stolid guard, Bond enters a flat, passes masked forensics officers, and joins M on the balcony.
Anything?
Craig Mitchell worked for me for 8 years. He passed a full security check and lie detector test every year. Didn't need so much as a scrap of paper to explain any of it. 8 years, 5 as my personal bodyguard. I found this and 3 other bloody Christmas presents I bought him about the house.
I don't think he smoked.
You had to kill him. Couldn't bring him in for questioning so that we might actually learn something. When someone says we've got people everywhere, you expect it to be hyperbole. Lots of people say that. Florists use that expression. Doesn't mean that they've got somebody working for them inside the bloody room. What the hell is this organization, Bond? How can they be everywhere and we know nothing about them? I assume we found no trace of White.
No. The agent guarding the door in the garage was dead before you passed him on the stairs.
I passed him on the stairs? Christ.
Mitchell must have killed him when he went out to check the perimeter. You're lucky to be here.
You think White's still alive?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Craig Mitchell, 45 years old, no living family, gave generously to charity.
Tell me you know more than that.
Our money men went through every bill in Mitchell's wallet and house.
How much did he have?
Less than £100. And about the same in euros and dollars.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Mum. We've done a complete forensic analysis of every note in its traceable history.
Not in the mood.
The boffin opens a door for M.
After you.
This particular note from Mitchell's wallet may be of interest. We introduced tagged bills into Lashif's money laundering operation by intercepting illegal payoffs. We traced money through several of his bank accounts around the world.
It was pretty thin. At the rate money changes hands, you could probably find a tenner in my wallet with a tag.
That's true, Mum. A single bill could be a coincidence, but what about a whole stack? These bills, from the same series as Mitchell's, were just scanned at a bank in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, deposited in the account of a Mr. Slate.
Impress me.
We have a Mr. Edmund Slate returning to Port-au-Prince from Heathrow this morning. His entry documents have him staying at the Hotel Dessalines. He's in room 325.
Bond's eyes narrow. He's wearing shades in the back of a taxi driving down a dusty street. The title reads, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He gets out of the taxi opposite the faded sign and entrance to the Hotel Dessalines. In dark polo shirt and light trousers, he enters the building and makes his way through the drab-tiled lobby, strung with washing lines. He moves down plain concrete corridors, arrives at a door, and positions himself to one side of it. He uses a tool to pick the lock. He enters cautiously, peering round the door into the plainly furnished empty living room. Closing the door behind him, he walks into the apartment. A switchblade flicks open. A man leaps through glass doors, swinging the blade wildly. Bond slams him through the glass into the bedroom. The man recovers and swings again. Bond attacks with the phone. He goes down and finds a pair of scissors. Bond slams him into a wall but gets headbutted, then hits him with a book. He parries the knife blows and grabs the guy's knife hand in a finger-breaking hold. They go through a window out onto a balcony. Bond has him by the throat. He drives the scissors into the guy's neck and thigh. Bond's completely unmoved as the guy rolls his eyes in agony, then dies, blood pooling beneath his head. He goes to search the rooms. He takes a shirt from a wardrobe and rips it to make a bandage for a cut on his arm. He shrugs on a shirt and wipes blood from his nose. Barely glancing at the body, he grabs the door keys and heads downstairs. He turns to the young black woman at reception with a grin.
Do you have any messages? 325.
No, sir. The only message was about the briefcase that was delivered earlier. Did you want us to continue holding it?
No, I'll take that now.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He takes the metal case and walks out. A small car comes flying round a corner.
Get in.
What?
Get in.
He hesitates.
All right.
You're late.
I got pulled into a meeting.
Who with?
Fred and Mr. White's.
He clocks her handbag.
Don't think I know him.
He opens it without her seeing.
It's funny. You don't look at all like I expected.
Really? What were you expecting?
I didn't think geologists looked so...
So...
There's a guy on a moped behind them.
Friend of yours?
I don't have any friends.
She streaks across the traffic, causing a truck to spill its load of coffins. The moped guy has to stop.
Get out of the way! Move!
The brunette with high cheekbones turns the little car into an alley off the road. Their pursuer tries to work out where they've gone.
We didn't settle on a price.
Make me an offer.
We can work it out later. Over drinks.
She pouts sexily and gestures to the case.
Dominic didn't give you any trouble, did he?
No.
They look through papers as moped guy looks for them. The papers are all blank.
What the hell is this?
I think someone wants to kill you.
He grabs her wrist as she fires. Then, as the moped gets closer, he jumps out of the car.
That wasn't very nice.
He turns to see the moped guy approaching.
You weren't supposed to shoot her. Well, I missed.
He flips the bike out from under him, kicks him in the face, then rides off.
Yes, see you then, goodbye.
Get Bond. Where is he now?
Approaching the docks, King's Quay.
He's a few cars behind the girl.
Canna,
I've got Bond.
Ask him about Slate.
He wants to know about Slate.
Tell us Slate was a dead end.
Slate was a dead end.
Damn him, he killed him.
Bond rides impassively, following the girl's little bronze car. They arrive at a quay where boats are being unloaded.
Yeah, mummy. That's a shockly heister.
Furiously, she storms past a guard in dark glasses. Let her through. Bond rides onto the quay and clocks the guard in a floral shirt carrying a submachine gun.
Whoa.
Touch me and I'll break your wrist.
The girl strides into an office as an official stamps a docket. We have a visitor.
Not now, I'm busy.
She stands over the Frenchman. The thin German speaker looks nervous.
Come in. How nice to see you.
Alive, you mean?
I knew we shouldn't have slept together. I think I'm starting to like you.
So you did just try and have me killed.
And that made me very sad, thinking I would never see you again. But here you are.
Damn it, Dominic! I was trying to help you. I was trying to uncover a leak. You sent someone to kill me?
Please don't talk to me like I'm stupid! It's unattractive. Come, I want to show you something. Come. There's nothing that makes me more uncomfortable than friends talking behind my back. It feels like ants under my skin. It's been that way forever. I remember when I was 15. I had a crush on one of my mother's piano students. But somehow, I overheard her saying very nasty things about me. I got so angry. I took an iron.
There's a body floating in the water under the quay.
Is that him?
We only spoke on the phone.
Such a shame, because he's one of my best geologists. He said you asked to buy information.
He called me and offered to sell me information. Why would I come back here if I was lying?
Because you love me.
I was doing it for you, to stop him from betraying you.
You know what burns more than all your bullshit? Is that I always got the feeling that you were only sleeping with me to get to General Medrano.
A powerful speedboat approaches.
Is that him?
You know how these deposed dictators are. Jealous of their safety. Stick around. I'll introduce you.
You see the girl that just walked in here? Could you give her that? Tell her to call me.
He gives the guard a card and looks up at a security camera before walking off. What did he want? He wants her to call him. The German, in square shades, looks at a card from Universal Exports. Bond activates the tracking function on his phone.
Reached Universal Exports. Our offices are currently closed.
Fais gaffe la prochaine fois.
Pay attention next time.
And you can do all this for me.
Well, look at what we did to this country. The Haitians elect a priest who decides to raise the minimum wage from 38 cents to $1 a day.
Whoa.
It's not a lot, but it's enough to upset the corporations who were here making T-shirts and running shoes. So they called us, and we facilitated a change.
The difference is my country's not some fly speck in the middle of the Caribbean.
But we've already begun destabilizing the government. We'll supply the private security. We'll pay off the right officials. And we have 26 countries ready to officially recognize your new Bolivian government. You want your country back. My organization can give it to you within the week.
You've been busy. And in return, you want what?
A desert.
He approaches the heavyset general with a bushy mustache.
Merci.
He holds up a map.
This part.
This land is worthless.
Oh. So you're getting a great deal.
You won't find oil there. Everyone has tried.
Maybe. Maybe not. But we own whatever we find.
The general eyeballs the little Frenchman and takes the map, nodding. The girl glares at them.
Did you know Ernesto Montes?
A very powerful man in his day. He had a beautiful Russian wife. A dancer.
Well, his daughter works for me. Or did.
She's lovely. But I don't see the resemblance.
Why don't you consider her something to sweeten the deal?
He waves her over.
Just promise me to drop her over the side when you're done. Camille? General Medrano?
General. Mucho gusto.
Mucho gusto, señorita. Conocí a su familia.
I knew your family.
Tristemente, creo que fui el último que los vio vivos.
Sadly, I believe I was the last to see them alive.
Be careful what you wish for, my dear.
A burly hand grabs her arm. Bond watches with a frown, then rides away. Camille is led to the speedboat.
Have fun, you two.
Bond rides through the busy docks, standing in the saddle to look around. Dominic waves an ironic goodbye as the boat with Camille on it pulls away. She looks with sultry hatred in his direction. Bond jumps the bike off the quay onto a boat, rides over some crates, jumps onto another boat, then abandons the machine. The launch is heading towards a huge luxury cruiser. Bond runs across the closely packed boats crammed with merchandise. He leaps onto a small launch, pulls the starting cord on the outboard motor, and starts to shadow the general's boat. He rams the boat. Dominic watches in disbelief as the crew on the cruiser grab weapons and jump into an inflatable. Bond boards the launch. Camille grabs a gun, but Bond knocks it into the water, grabs her, and drags her off the boat into his. Guns the engine and speeds off. The general points and roars as an inflatable comes into play, speeding after Bond.
What the hell are you doing?
You're welcome.
You idiot, take me back.
You know, maybe I'll do that later.
You don't want a Greens.
Dominic Green.
The general's men open up as Camille and Bond struggle.
Get down.
They get rammed, slewing their old boat sideways. Bond gets control, then they duck a hail of bullets. They steer straight at the inflatable. Camille takes a gunman out with a boat hook. Then the inflatable turns for another run.
Give me the wheel!
Navigate!
The swerving boats kick up fountains of spray. Bond crashes through some moored boats as their pursuers exchange frantic hand signals, coordinating a two-boat attack.
What are you doing?
Hold on!
He speeds at the two inflatables head-on. He crashes between them, sending men sprawling. The gunman wrestles with his weapon. He rams an engine, which explodes. They drop to the deck. Then Bond grabs the wheel as the other boat closes in. The chase heads for the tightly packed marina. Bond throttles back, and the other boat rear-ends them so hard it mounts their stern, knocking Camille down in the process. With the two boats locked together, Bond grabs a grappling hook and throws it into the inflatable. The rope uncoils and comes taut, hurling the inflatable away from their boat. He turns the boat around in calm water and heads away from the scene with barely a backward glance. With Camille unconscious in the bottom of the boat, he heads away from a quiet inlet with rolling tree-covered highlands towards a landing stage near a development of opulent white buildings. He stops the boat at the jetty and carries Camille through crowds of retirement-age tourists.
Excuse me. Thank you. She's seasick.
He dumps her on a puzzled member of staff and walks past luxury sailing yachts being manoeuvred on trailers. He consults the GPS tracker on his phone. He approaches a 4x4 with its door open, looks around the yard, then casually slips behind the wheel. He drives through run-down suburbs and makes a call to his neat, glass-partitioned headquarters. An agent heads for M's office.
It's Bond. Connect Bond. Yes?
Name check. Dominic Green.
G-R-E-E-N-E. Might need a little more than that. There are a lot of Dominic Greens. Do you have a social security or passport number?
No.
Scanning
TGSE database.
Anything? Scanning
AGB. Do you have anything?
Will you put her on, please?
I am on, Bond. What happened to Slate?
I'm not dwelling on the past. I don't think you should either.
You killed him.
Largest hit, Dominic Green, CEO of Green Planet. It's a utility company, but Green's been doing a lot of philanthropic work, buying up large tracts of land for ecological preserves. Should be getting his picture now.
Yep, that's him.
I'm afraid there's a firewall around his other corporate holdings, so we have no other information.
Get me the Americans.
Connect. Go ahead.
Interest in Dominic Green, Green Planet.
Transferring you now.
Hold for Gregory Beam, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Gregory Beam, ma'am.
Hello, Mr. Beam.
I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. We have no interest in Mr. Green.
Thank you, Mr. Beam. Connection terminated.
He's a person of extreme interest.
But he just said that he
Tanner, wouldn't. I asked about the man and she transferred me to the section chief of South America. How would she know to do that if they weren't tracking him?
Two black 4x4s arrive at an airfield.
Bond, we have your location as approaching an airfield. Is Green on the move?
Yeah, I've got a tail number. Golf Zero Charlie Sierra Charlie.
Give me a destination.
Dominic Green and his guard in the bright shirt get out of a car.
It's a private charter going to Bregenz, Austria, leaving immediately.
Tanner, authorize a charter for W7.
And Bond, if you could avoid killing every possible lead, it would be deeply appreciated.
Yes, ma'am. I'll do my best.
Connection terminated.
I've heard that before.
Green walks onto an executive jet.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome aboard. Bonjour. Ça va? Ça va. Come. Have a seat.
The plane carrying Green, Beam, and a black agent with a beard takes off. The thin German adds sugar to coffee and grins. Turbulence hits as Green returns from a comfort break.
Jeez!
Sorry.
How much longer?
The black agent glares at him.
So do we have an understanding?
Yeah.
We do nothing to stop a coup in Bolivia, and in exchange, the new government gives America the least standing oil found.
If it's oil you want.
We didn't find diamonds, did you?
Green looks non-committal.
drilling underground. You kept off everybody's radar for a very long time, but you can't buy that much piping without somebody getting curious. We'll have to verify the find.
I'm not even admitting there is one. You are getting this for free. Venezuela, Brazil, now Bolivia. With you tied up in the Middle East, South America is falling like dominoes. You don't need another Marxist giving national resources to the people, do you?
Well, we can hardly be expected to do something about a coup we know nothing about.
His colleague smiles coldly. Beam grins.
And I have a vest.
He shows Beam Bond's photo on his camera.
You have any idea who that is?
He tosses the phone to the surly agent who studies the picture. He closes the phone and hands it back.
Sorry.
It's James Bond, British Secret Service. I don't know how I could have missed that.
I will need you to get rid of him for me.
Yeah. That's not gonna be a problem.
He eyeballs his colleague. A title reads, Bregenz, Austria. The jet taxis outside a hangar. Green gets into a car, glances up at the CIA agents, and grins.
You know who Green is and you want to put us in bed with him. You aren't kidding, right?
Yeah, you're right. We should just deal with nice people. I need to know you're on the team, Felix. I need to know you value your career.
Felix gives a bitter smile, then follows Beam up the plane steps. Green's car arrives in town. They drive through quiet cobbled streets, past a bubbling fountain. Bond is following his GPS tracker. Green arrives at a large, very modern leisure complex. He and the German are wearing tuxedos. Crowds of people in evening dress are arriving by riverboat. Crowds mill in the foyer. Green walks upstairs. A huge glitter ball and other equipment is being wheeled on trolleys, and a poster advertises Tosca. A man crosses the staging area and down some stairs to the Künstlereingang, the artist's entrance. In a dressing room, makeup is applied and costumes are checked. One actress is having a wound painted on her forehead. Bond walks down a plain white corridor, opens a door, and steps inside. Guests gather in a reception area in the form of a cube built over the theatre entrance. Green oozes charm as he shakes an older man's hand. His German companion drifts off. The performers are getting changed. A well-muscled actor checks two wardrobes but can't find his clothes. Bond joins the theatre-goers wearing a tuxedo. Green's crony is carrying a bag. Bond looks down at the revelers from a balcony. He spots Green and his friend sipping champagne and talking to two elegant women. He watches as white-shirted hostesses give out gift bags to guests. Bond follows a guest with a gift bag into the toilets. The crowds move into the auditorium. Green and his friend, carrying their gift bags, are welcomed into a private box. Bond empties the bag into a basin. He picks up a small pin in the shape of a letter Q, then opens up a box and takes out a small earpiece. Green does the same, settling in his chair. The guest Bond followed in is slumped in a corner. He steps out of the toilet and rips off the door handle. Bond is backstage behind the set, which features a huge moving eye. He climbs up a walkway. Green is watching from his box. The singer is being raised up the set on a decorator's cradle. Bond climbs flight after flight of metal stairs. Green's friend looks round and smiles weakly at a grim-faced man standing at the back of the box. The man stares at him. From a high gantry, Bond looks out at the vast, packed amphitheatre.
Pipeline do we need?
Ideally, 2,000 kilometers.
Are there any objections?
No.
Not here. No objections.
Transfer the funds from our Siberian holdings.
Done.
Where do the Americans stand?
Well, the CIA doesn't care about another dictator as long as they get their hand.
But when they
find out that they've been duped?
I'm working on that.
I'm not sure that the Tierra project is the best use of Quantum's time.
Perhaps we should shift our focus to the Canadian.
This is the world's most precious resource. We need to control as much of it as we can. Bolivia must be top priority.
Can I offer an opinion?
I really think you people should find a better place to meet.
Green's eyes widen. All over the auditorium, men stand up and make their way out.
Where do you think you're going?
He takes photos with his phone. As the faces are captured and processed, someone runs up the metal stairs towards Bond's perch. On stage, actors are being marched into a dungeon. The conspirators' faces appear on screen in London.
Thank you.
Bond intercepts the intruder and takes him out with a fist and a knee. He heads back downstairs.
Well, Tusker isn't for everyone.
The speaker is Mr. White. On stage, the dungeon lid is slammed. Upstairs, Green clears out of his box. Bond emerges near the side of the stage, removes his earpiece, and walks out just yards away from where White is sitting. As Bond walks calmly down a corridor, Green and his party are hurrying for an exit. They come face to face. On stage, guns are drawn. The hero is shot on stage as Green's men chase Bond. He runs through a crowded restaurant and shots are fired, taking down a bystander. Bond waits in ambush. A pursuer goes down and a full gun battle ensues in the restaurant. Bond escapes into the kitchen area. A man body checks him, but Bond shoots him point blank through the body. He ducks as a door flies open in front of him. He tips over a pan of oil which bursts into flames and gets past the gunman as the hero dies bloodily on stage.
Drop it.
He marches the man away with a gun at his neck.
So who are you working for?
Piss off. Get rid of anything we brought with us. We've been compromised.
I asked you who you were working for.
He holds the guy at the edge of a roof. Green gets in his car and Bond's prisoner tries to break free. He sends him off the roof. He lands on Green's car. Bond straightens his tuxedo.
Is he one of us?
No.
Then he shouldn't be looking at me.
The grim driver gets out and finishes him. In London, an operator's looking at Bond's photos.
Get me M.
Thanks. Annette Call.
Connecting Tanner.
We've ID'd the pictures.
Show me.
Gregor Karakov, former minister, now owns most of the mines in Siberia. Moishe Sarov, former Mossad, now telecom giant. And Guy Haines, special envoy to the Prime Minister.
Get Bond.
There's something else. It appears Bond shot Haines' bodyguard and threw him off a roof.
M stares at her screen.
Where are you?
Did you get my pictures?
Was this a conversation? Can you link these people?
Is that stress in your voice?
I need you to come in and debrief.
I don't have time.
Bond,
you killed a man in Brigance.
I did my best not to.
You shot him at point blank and threw him off a roof.
I'd hardly call that showing restraint, especially since he was a member of Special Branch.
He registers surprise.
So who is he guarding?
Bond, are you missing the fact that you killed a member of Special Branch? I need you to come in.
And I would. But right now, I need to find the man who tried to kill you. Go back to sleep.
Connection terminated.
Restrict Bond's movements. Cancel his cards. Put an alert on his passports, all of them. And I want to know everything we don't know about Haynes.
Yes, ma'am.
And Tanner, be careful who you trust with this. Hopefully you're a better judge of character than I am.
You want to follow your friends to La Paz, Bolivia?
Please.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but this doesn't work. Do you have another card?
No.
He walks pensively away from the desk, then goes back.
Could you do me a favor? You're going to get a phone call in a minute. Would you mind telling them I'm headed for Cairo?
I'd be happy to.
Thank you.
He grins and walks off.
Bottom sky, guten Abend.
Bond's in the back of a powerboat, flying an Italian flag at the stern. The title reads Talamone, Italy. The boat's heading towards a promontory, topped by a grand villa overlooking the turquoise blue sea. Bond approaches a stout wooden door.
Mathis.
What do you want? Come to apologize?
You know, Mathis, I think retirement suits you.
None for him.
Sorry, he's in a bad mood today.
This man had me imprisoned and tortured. And you want to serve me with fine wine?
You owe me by cheap wine. And since you were innocent, they brought you this villa. So really, you owe him, don't you?
Gemma, perché non ti vai a prendere un po' di tintarella, che è meglio?
Va bene.
Gemma, go work on your tan. She catwalks off.
I need a passport and matching credit card.
And MI6 ran out of plastic.
Well, oddly, right now, you're the only person I think I can trust.
That is odd. But I guess when one's young, it seems very easy to distinguish between right and wrong. But as one gets older, it becomes more difficult. The villains and the heroes get all mixed up. I was sorry to hear about Vesper. I think she loved you.
Right up until the moment she betrayed me.
She died for you. Why did you really want to see me?
I need some information.
He drops photos on the table and helps himself to white wine.
You have some hard friends. This man is some kind of facilitator. Fingers in many pies, and they don't leave any prints. These men were together?
They're buying up oil pipeline. Something called the Tierra Project. Do you know it?
Destroy these. That's Guy Haynes. You don't know him?
Should I?
I suppose not. You haven't been keeping secrets as long as I have. He keeps a very low profile, but he's one of the Prime Minister's closest advisors.
They say you're judged by the strength of your enemies. Do you know anything about Bolivia?
I was stationed in South America for 7 years.
Well, you have some contacts there?
A few. What do you want to know?
Bond grins.
Come with me.
I want your hands on my skin.
Mathis looks up at his glamorous younger woman. Bond drains a glass. In a bar on a plane, he looks at a picture of the dead Vespa and picks up a necklace from the bar. He sips a martini. Mathis joins him. He slips the photo into his pocket.
You can't sleep?
May I fix you a drink, sir?
What are you drinking?
I don't know. What am I drinking?
3 measures of Gordon's gin, 1 of vodka, 1/2 a measure of Quinolile, which is not vermouth. Shaken well until it is ice cold, then served with a large, thin slice of lemon peel. 6 of them.
That's impressive. That good, you should have one. No, it'll just keep me awake. So, what's keeping you awake?
I was wondering why you came with me.
It takes something to admit you were wrong.
They study one another.
You want a sleeping pill?
No.
Pain pill?
I have pills for everything. Some make you taller. Some make you forget. I'm going to try and get some sleep.
Good idea.
Bond stays at the bar. A title over an airport reads La Paz, Bolivia. Bond and Mathis move through immigration. A redhead in a raincoat stands waiting.
Mr. Bond, my name is Fields. I'm from the consulate.
Well, of course you are. What do you do at the consulate, Fields?
That's not important. My orders are to turn you around and put you on the first plane back to London.
Those orders include my friend Mathis.
I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
You see that? Gone such a short time, already forgotten.
You're just saying that to hurt me.
Mr. Bond, these orders come from the highest possible authority.
Taxi? Fields? When is the next flight to London?
Tomorrow morning.
Well, then we have all night.
If you attempt to flee, I will arrest you, drop you off in jail, and take you to the plane in chains. Understand?
Perfectly. How do you?
I think she has handcuffs.
I do hope so.
They get in the taxi, which drives through the busy downtown traffic. It either rains too much or it never rains.
He blames the water shortage on global warming.
They say the glaciers are melting. It's like the wrath of God.
How are you?
And the government keeps raising taxes.
The colonel, who heads the national police.
I don't know what they're going to do about it. My grandmother, may she rest in peace, told me everything.
Would I be calling if I didn't have the money?
Every single thing about what's going on. I can still see her in my dreams. She's the one who says to me, my boy, buy yourself a taxi. They get out of the taxi. Fields strides into a rundown hotel.
We have a reservation.
Hola.
Hola.
¿Cómo está?
Very well, thank you.
Your name?
Miss Fields.
Bond's heading back to the taxi.
Bueno.
You're going nowhere.
So shoot me. I'd rather stay in a morgue.
We are teachers on sabbatical. This fits our cover.
No, it doesn't. Get in. Get in.
She obeys, tight-lipped. The statue of an eagle spreads its wings beneath a blue sky dusted with clouds. Mathis and the cab driver are still bickering. They enter a luxury hotel named the Grand.
Hola. Somos maestros en el sabático.
We're teachers on sabbatical.
Y nos ganamos la lotería.
You've just won the lottery.
Sí, señor.
Congratulations. How may I help you?
Follow me, please.
They're led through the airy tile and marble halls.
May I show you your room, senor?
No, it's fine, thank you.
Gracias, senor.
Bond casually tosses the keys on a sofa and strides through the spacious modern furnishings eyed by Fields. She stands looking lost as he casts a critical eye over the bedroom and marble ensuite bathroom.
I can't find the stationery. You come and help me look.
He takes off his jacket and walks into the bathroom. Fields grins and goes to the bedroom. Bond answers the door naked. Mathis hands him an envelope.
You've been invited to a party.
I didn't know we had any friends here. Green Planet. You're not coming?
I'm having a drink with my friend the Colonel. I'll see you there later.
Tousle-headed Bond puts down his champagne glass and heads back to the bedroom.
Do you know how angry I am at myself?
I can't imagine.
He kisses her naked back.
You must be furious.
She smiles and turns her face towards him.
Do you want to go to a party?
Party? But I have nothing to wear.
We'll fix that.
He pulls her back down onto the bed. The DJ plays under a full moon. Canapés are being served and cocktails sipped. A sign shows Eco Park Charity Fundraiser. A Range Rover pulls up at the entrance. Bond gets out, accompanied by Fields, in a glamorous black and gold dress.
It might be useful to know your real name.
Fields. Just Fields.
Fields it is.
We are in a spiral of environmental decline. Since 1945, 17% of the planet's vegetated surface has been irreversibly degraded. The Tierra Project is just one small part of a global network of eco-parks that Green Planet has created to rejuvenate a world on the verge of collapse. I hope that tonight you make the decision to be part of that. Thank you.
And have fun.
Thank you. Excellent speech. Congratulations.
Wonderful speech, Dominique.
We need you here. Thank you.
Miss Fields, Mr. Bond, my friend Carlos.
Pleased to meet you.
Madam. Mr. Bond, Mathis has spoken a great deal about you. I want you to know my entire police force is at your disposal.
Well, that could be very useful.
Well, you know, there are people in this country spending half their paycheck just to get clean water. What do you think of that?
The Bolivian government is the problem. They cut down the trees, then act surprised when the water and the soil wash out to sea.
I couldn't agree more. I hope this figure is to your liking.
Chérie, he shouldn't tease. Why don't you tell them about all the land you bought up outside Potosí?
It's been a pleasure. Excuse me?
Of course.
Somehow, the logging rights went to a multinational corporation that cut down the forests. But only after our last government sold the land to Green Planet. Or have I got my facts crossed?
Yes, I think you did.
You'll excuse us? What a wonderful night.
Bond moves through the press of glamorous partygoers.
You just cost me quite a bit of money, darling.
You can't put a price on integrity.
I can try. Oh.
He shakes another hand. CIA agent Felix watches from a sofa.
Thank you. Tell me you didn't drop by tonight just to piss on my parade. Or are you still after this general's head for your mantle?
A little of both. Tell me where Medrano is, and maybe you won't lose any more investors.
They look down from a stone balustrade.
You are really breaking my heart choosing an insect like that over me.
You're going to throw me over?
No, you've been drinking, so maybe you slipped.
Oh, just think how much you'd miss me.
She kisses him, and he shoves her hard against the crumbling stonework.
Good evening. There you are.
The thin German arrives.
Would you excuse me?
Mr. Bond, what a pleasure. Well, careful with this one. She won't go to bed with you unless you give her something she really wants. It's a shame because she's really quite stunning once you get her on her back.
I wish I could say the feeling was mutual.
I'm sorry, Mr. Green, but we have to go.
Please, my friends call me Dominique.
I'm sure they do.
How much do you know about Bond, Camille? Because he's rather a tragic case. His MI6 says he's difficult to control. Nice way of saying that everything he touches seems to wither and die.
Shall we?
Doesn't bode well for you, I'm afraid.
You two do make a charming couple, though. You're both, what's the expression? Damaged goods?
Fields passes them without a glance on the stairs, then trips the German.
Oh, my gosh! I'm so sorry!
The CIA men are sitting together.
Come on, lighten up. Cramping my style.
So it's British intelligence now. What the hell do you want from me?
You're going to show me Dominic Green's Tierra project. Are you up to it?
Do I have a choice?
Do you want one?
There's something horribly efficient about you.
Is that a compliment?
She belts up as he goes round to the driver's side of the Range Rover. Motorcyclists follow them. Bond and Camille sit not looking at each other.
Well, what's the bet that Dominic Green has friends in the police force?
He parks the car, and the two motorcycle cops pull up behind it.
Stay here. Buenas noches.
Documentos, por favor.
Papers, please. Bond hands over his license to the cop, who's wearing dark glasses at night.
Abre el baúl.
Open the trunk.
Now, why would you want me to do that?
As he opens it, the cop draws.
Sáquelo de ahí.
Get him out.
Vamos.
Hurry up.
Sáquelo.
Get him out. Mathis is lying in the trunk. Bond hauls the unconscious man out. He's moving. Shoot him. Mathis is shot. Bond hurls him at the cops, shoots one with his colleague's gun, throws the other down, calmly shoots him, then empties the gun and tosses it aside.
Mathis.
There's a hospital on the other side of town.
Please. Stay with me. Stay here, please. Please.
Come here. It's okay.
That's better. That doesn't hurt.
Bond cradles him in his arms.
Is Mathis your cover name?
Yes.
Not a very good one, is it?
Camille watches them.
We forgive each other.
I shouldn't have left you alone.
Vesper, she gave everything for you. Forgive her. Forgive yourself.
His head slumps against Bond's shoulder. Expressionlessly, Bond feels for a pulse, and Camille shifts uneasily. He drops the body in a dumpster.
Is that how you treat your friends?
He wouldn't care.
He removes Mathis' wallet from his jacket, takes out the cash, and tosses the wallet aside.
Let's go.
They walk off, leaving the body slumped amid the rubbish bags in the dumpster. The Range Rover heads down a desert highway. Camille's asleep in the passenger seat.
The Foreign Secretary's asking to see you.
What don't I know?
René Mathis has been shot dead in Bolivia. The police claim it was Bond.
M stares coldly. The Range Rover drives through the dusty, barren landscape with rolling hills. It arrives at a small airstrip. The man in a leather jacket and brimmed hat is working on an aircraft. He turns as Bond pulls up. He steps out of the car, doing up his jacket to cover a bloodstain on his shirt.
Buenos días.
How can I help you?
Bond looks at an old propeller transport plane as Camille gets out of the car.
How much did you pay him?
Well, he wanted you, but I left him the car as collateral. He'll make much more when he sells us out. Right. Let's see if this thing will fly.
The aging DC-3 Dakota lumbers down the runway, raising a cloud of dust in its wake. The man in the hat is already on the phone as the old plane takes to the air.
Here. All the information I found said there was nothing of value there. But Green's geologist had proved that there was.
They both study a chart.
My sources tell me you're Bolivian Secret Service. Or used to be. Not that you infiltrated Green's organization by having sex with him.
That offends you?
No, not in the slightest.
So what's your interest in Green?
Well, amongst other things, he tried to kill a friend of mine.
A woman?
Yes. But it's not what you think.
Your mother?
She likes to think so. What's that down there?
There's a large crevasse in the barren rocky hills.
That's a sinkhole. There are a few around here. Just for the record, I wasn't with Green for a month.
A fighter streaks past them and banks for another pass. Bond puts the plane into a dive, working the controls furiously as the fighter loops to get behind them. Target terminated. Confirm the kill. As the fighter streaks in, Bond dives down into a valley. Camille looks alarmed, and Bond concentrates hard as they skim the valley floor. He lowers the undercarriage.
Damn it!
They hit the ground hard, and he shoves the throttles back open. The fighter hurtles down the valley after them. big aircraft passes perilously close to a rocky outcrop. Camille gets out of her seat and moves down the plane's fuselage. She looks out of a side window as rocks and crags skim past.
I think we lost him.
Condor, this is Marchetti. Target is still airborne, heading 300 degrees, 10 kilometers south of Galera.
He's coming fast!
He's right on their tail. Bond banks hard. They're hit in the port engine. The fighter rolls to get off another burst as Bond throws the big plane sideways, tipping Camille off her feet. Rounds pepper the inside of the plane. Camille clings to the wall and black smoke pours from the stricken engine. Daylight pours through holes punched in the fuselage by another burst from the fighter. It loops back for another run. Bond nurses the stricken aircraft as the hunter swoops in for the kill.
He's right behind you!
He eases the port throttle forward, causing the dying engine to belch smoke which envelops the fighter's cockpit. The fighter drops below the transport to avoid the smoke, and Bond throttles back, trapping the fighter between the larger plane and the rocks. Bond drops airspeed, and the fighter has to do the same, slowing it to the point of stalling. The fighter turns to avoid a collision and hurtles straight towards the rocks. Warning lights flash as the plane levels off.
Here! Put that on!
He throws her a parachute. A red warning light shows generator failure. Camille struggles with the chute. She wrenches open the outside door and waits for Bond, who gropes for his chute, then hauls on the stick to get the plane over a hill. A helicopter's waiting in ambush. Rounds slam into the plane as the two aircraft nearly collide. Bond raises the nose, gaining as much height as possible. Cargo strains at its straps, which snap, the crates and bundles tumbling back towards Camille. First one, then both propellers give out under the strain. Bond drops down the vertical fuselage to Camille, grabs her, and they tumble out into space. Bond, with no parachute, lets go of her, then grabs her again. Makes another dive for her as the plane smashes to earth, and they continue to fall between the cliffs of the sinkhole. Bond snatches at the ripcord. The parachute only has time to break their fall.
According to the Bolivians, it was a routine stop, and when they discovered Mathis's body, Bond disarmed and shot them. Of course, there are no witnesses to prove otherwise.
I need something. I can't go in there unarmed.
I'm sorry, there's nothing.
Come in. What's today's excuse? That Bond is legally blind?
No, Minister.
I don't think I need to tell you how upset the PM is.
With respect, the PM has my direct line.
And he'd have used it if he'd wanted to speak to you. I'm sorry, things have changed. We've had long discussions with our cousins. Mr. Green's interests and ours now align.
Minister, this man is a major player in one of the most dangerous and powerful organizations
we've never even heard of. Foreign policy cannot be conducted on the basis of hunches and innuendo.
Then give us time to gather enough evidence so you can make informed decisions.
Fine. Say you're right. Say Green is a villain. If we refuse to do business with villains, we'd have almost no one to trade with. The world's running out of oil, Em. The Russians aren't playing ball. The Americans and Chinese are dividing up what's left. Right or wrong doesn't come into it. We're acting out of necessity.
Em sits stony-faced.
Bond is running wild. Who's to say he hasn't been turned? Pull him in, or the Americans will put him down.
I think I found a way out. You're freezing.
I'm fine.
They're in the sunless depths of the sinkhole. He puts his jacket round her shoulders. He stands, thinks for a moment, then turns to her.
So what is it that Green has that you want?
He's not Green, it's Medrano, the man he met in Haiti. My father worked for the military junta. He was a very cruel man. But he was my father. When I was a small child, the opposition sent General Medrano to our house. He shot my father. He did things to my mother and my sister. And I strangled them while I watched. I was too young to be in trouble. So he just smiled at me. And set the house on fire. He left his mark.
So when I pulled you off the boat?
I waited years for that chance.
I apologize. Seems we're both using Green to get to somebody.
You lost somebody?
I did, yes.
You catch whoever did it?
No. Not yet.
Tell me when you do. I'd like to know how it feels.
They stare at one another until Bond breaks eye contact.
We should go. You ready?
She gives a small nod. He holds out a hand. She takes it and pulls herself up. They trudge through the chilly, rocky shadows. They come to a rockfall. Bond kicks at some of the stones, then picks one up.
Dynamite. This used to be a riverbed.
He starts to climb up the rockfall, comes to the top, and pauses, seeing a huge underground lake.
Green isn't after the oil. He wants the water.
We can't leave it like this.
It's one dam. He's creating a drought. And have built others.
They walk down a tunnel with the roof held up by wooden supports. People cluster around a dribbling standpipe. A lad in a woolly hat runs from a half-built wood frame house in a dusty village. Bond kicks open a door at the end of the tunnel. He and Barefoot Camille walk across the featureless, dusty landscape. People queue for water with buckets and pans and argue amongst themselves. A man climbs up to peer in the top of the well as Bond and Camille walk into town. He gestures, but the well's dry. The standpipe stops dribbling. A bus arrives at the dying town. A small group of people, joined by Bond and Camille, get on board. The bus's red taillights shine through the dusty twilight gloom. Covered in dust, they arrive at the Grand Hotel.
Excuse me, sir. Your wife left a message. The English woman, she left it for you this morning.
Thank you.
The note says, run.
What is it?
Would you mind waiting down here?
I'll be outside.
He heads unhurriedly upstairs, makes his way across the landing, and approaches the door of his room. It's not locked. He pushes it open.
So that's what you meant. I hope you can trust these men. Just a moment.
It's Tanner.
Yes. We've got the girl downstairs. She says to tell you she's sorry, but this is not her fight.
It isn't. Let her go.
She isn't our concern.
I'm disappointed.
You are?
How much oil did the Americans promise you?
This isn't about oil.
Well, that's good, because there isn't any.
It's about trust. You said you weren't motivated by revenge.
I'm motivated by my duty.
No. I think you're so blinded by inconsolable rage that you don't care who you hurt. When you can't tell your friends from your enemies, it's time to go.
He bursts into the bedroom. Field's body is on the bed, covered in black oil.
You might like to tell her your theory about there being no oil. Her lungs are full of it.
It was Green.
No doubt, but why?
It's just misdirection.
I mean, why her, Bond? She was just supposed to send you home. She worked in an office, collecting reports. Look how well your charm works, James. They'll do anything for you, won't they? How many is that now? You're removed from duty and suspended, pending further investigation. You'll give whatever weapons you have to these men and leave with them now.
He's frisked and escorted out. Field's oil-covered body lies straight across the bed as the doors to the lift close on Bond and his escort. He back-headbutts one guard, breaks another's knee, then lays out the third. He grabs the keys and unlocks his handcuffs, then frisks his would-be captors and takes a gun. As the lift doors open, he cocks the automatic and calmly slips it into the waistband of his trousers in the small of his back. He flicks a dangling leg back into the lift as the doors close. He walks down a hall and intercepts M.
Miss Fields showed true bravery. I want that mentioned in your report. Now you and I need to see this through.
There's nowhere to go. There's a capture or kill order out on you.
Who would have done that?
He vaults a balustrade and runs around the ledge of the balcony above the lobby, avoiding the squads of agents looking for him. He nips back past M.
Find out where he's going. He's onto something.
Mum, the CIA is insisting.
I don't give a shit about the CIA or their trumped up evidence. He's my agent, and I trust him. Go on.
She gives a half smile as Bond leaves the building. An old VW Beetle pulls up beside him, driven by Camille.
Get in.
You're gonna try and shoot me?
I said get in.
In a dingy building, two men are carrying a heavy box downstairs. In an office, Felix swigs from a bottle.
You're gonna get botulism if you keep drinking that.
It's bottled water.
It probably came from some stream just around the corner from here. A bunch of little kids peeing in it.
That's why I eat the peppers.
Well, all I'm saying is you can't trust a damn thing around here.
Incan exportad, buenas noches.
You know, you should just answer CIA, Felix. A taxi driver told me where the office was.
Well, if it was so easy to find, James, you really should come visit.
Or maybe you should come out and see some more of the city.
Felix puffs on his cigar as Bond hangs up. In a rundown part of town, men are drinking, smoking, and playing games in a bar. Felix walks in to join Bond, who's at the bar.
I heard a rumor you'd gone native.
Felix, forget us.
Yes, it is. You know, I was just wondering what South America would look like if nobody gave a damn about Coca-Cola communism. It's always impressed me the way you boys carved this place up.
I'll take that as a compliment coming from a Brit.
Are you sure you're playing with the right side?
Regimes change once a week down here. And then I'm only no dirtier than the next guy.
Oh, you see, that's what I like about U.S. intelligence. You'll lie down with anybody.
Including you, brother. Including you.
Do you know you're being played? Dominic Green's going to suck this place dry, and then he's going to move on, and you're going to be left picking up the broken crockery.
What can I tell you? There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Well, you see, Felix, I don't think you're half as cynical as you make out to be.
You don't know me.
A guy in a leather jacket walks through the bar.
Why? Just because you didn't come alone? How long have I gone?
30 seconds.
Well, that doesn't give us a lot of time, does it?
Medrano can't move until he pays off the army and the police chief. Green's bringing him his money now. A hotel called the Perla de las Dunas in the desert.
Thank you, Felix.
James, move your ass.
Bond vaults over the bar as soldiers in armor burst in. He sprints upstairs and takes out a waiting soldier with an elbow to the face. He ducks out of the way as another opens up, sprints off, and jumps from one building to another.
Move it, move it!
Felix observes the chaos dispassionately and sips his beer.
What the hell happened? What do you tell him?
Just what we agreed.
Beam looks concerned as Felix gets in the car. Bond emerges from the shadows of a balcony and walks out onto the run-down street. The sun blazes down on a rocky desert. A lizard crawls over a rock. The general, police chief and guard sit on a cool balcony surveying the arid scene.
Was there any trouble securing the hotel?
None. It's just the fuel cells. The whole compound runs on them. Pain in the ass, really.
Sounds highly unstable.
I was told you needed something. How can I help you?
What a lovely question. How about a drink for now?
What would you like?
A beer.
One beer. And for you, sir?
Nothing. Go away. The general leers after the slim hostess. The police chief wags a knowing finger at him. Behind a rock, overlooking the geometrically laid out compound, Camille expertly assembles and loads an automatic.
What are you doing?
This slide's gone. Maybe I should check your own.
I will.
Two cars approach.
Have you ever killed someone?
She stares at him.
The training will tell you that when the adrenaline kicks in, you should compensate. But part of you is not going to believe the training because this kill is personal. Take a deep breath. You only need one shot. Make it count.
She looks coldly at him. The cars drive down a ramp to an underground entrance. He's here. The uniforms go to meet Green, who's getting out of his car, eating an apple. The parties converge along metal walkways and staircases. They arrive at a meeting area surrounded by clear glass panels. There's a display of shiny metallic balls nearby. Green's party arrive, his grim-faced driver carrying two metal attaché cases. Green grins at the general.
Todo bien?
In euros. As requested.
The dollar isn't what it once was. The cost of war. I am afraid that the corruption in this current government can no longer be tolerated. Presidente.
And mine?
Right after you sign over my land.
The hostess brings the general's beer.
Take it to my suite, please.
She removes the beer. A document is placed on the table. Green slides it over to the general with a pen.
My first official act.
And this, if you would.
What is this?
As of this moment, my organization owns more than 60% of Bolivia's water supply. So this contract states that your new government will use us as utilities provider.
This is double what we are paying now.
Oh, well, then don't sign it. But you should know something about me and the people I work with. We deal with the left or the right, with dictators or liberators. If the current president had been more agreeable, I wouldn't be talking to you. So if you decide not to sign, you will wake up with your balls in your mouth and your willing replacement standing over you. You doubt that, then shoot me, take that money, and have a good night's sleep.
Camille vaults over the edge of the compound's main building and drops onto the balcony. The general eyes Green grimly and grabs the paper. The second case is placed in front of him. He opens it and examines the wads of banknotes inside. He leaves the table as Green and his men grin smugly. Inside the building, Camille is heading in their direction. She hides in a doorway as the general and his bodyguard appear. She composes herself. The police chief heads downstairs to his 4x4 and dumps the money on the back seat. The general's men stand guard at his suite as Green's party head for the car park. The general throws the hostess on the bed and rips her clothes. Camille breathes deeply. The figure drops onto the police chief's car.
You and I had a mutual friend!
He shoots the chief in the head and drops another man. He clings to the bumper as the driver reverses, then shoots him. The chief's Land Rover reverses into a wall which explodes in a fireball. The fuel cells beneath the building erupt. Bond is thrown against a wall and showered with glass. Huddled beneath a car, Bond fires at legs, the only targets he can see. Then he's up and running. He slams a man in a car door, runs to the stairs and takes down Green's driver. Camille shoots the general's guards and kicks one so hard he flies over a railing. The general gets off the hostess. Camille rips off her shirt and stands ready in a strappy white top as Green bounds up the stairs. He places his German friend as armed guard. Camille enters the general's room. The hostess, hands bound, runs for the door and is battered aside by Camille, who is then attacked by the general, who knocks the gun from her hand and slaps her. Bond runs upstairs and is aimed at by Green's man just as the compound's main fuel cells erupt, engulfing the meeting area in flame and flying glass. The German's consumed in the fire, but Green runs up the stairs, pursued by Bond. Bond's above Green on the flat glass roof. He fires down and the glass disintegrates. He drops back into the building. Green attacks with a metal bar. Bond drops his gun. Green grabs an axe from a firepoint and flails wildly at Bond. The general has Camille by the throat.
Now your face has the same look of fear as your mother's did.
She bites him in the face, rips his hair, knees him in the groin and gouges his eyes before being flung off. She grabs for the gun, but he stamps on her hand. Green wields the axe desperately, but is kicked over by Bond. The walkway he's standing on collapses, but he hangs on grimly. The general stands over Camille, thrown through a glass table. She stabs his legs with the glass. Bond climbs up the dangling walkway and kicks at Green. Camille stabs the general in the back. Bond smashes Green with a glass door, and they trade blows until Green, swinging madly, buries the axe in his own foot. He falls off the edge of the floor they're on and dangles in space, Bond holding him by the hair. Camille struggles desperately under her attacker, grabs his groin and kicks him in the face. She dives for the gun.
This time you will burn.
You just lost another one.
The general goes down. Camille breathes deeply. Bond hauls Green back up by the hair and dumps him on the floor. Fire pours through the ceiling above Camille. Bond runs to her, abandoning Green. Camille sits crouched in terror as fire and masonry fall around her. The building is collapsing as Bond tries to reach her. He spots her through the flames, reaches her, and puts his arms around her as the ceiling continues to collapse. They're completely trapped by fire and fallen rubble.
Go this way.
Bond holds her tightly, spots the gun, and picks it up. Her eyes are wide with terror.
Like you said, take a deep breath. Make it count.
Close your eyes.
He's about to kill them both when a blast exposes a fuel cell in the wall. Blast takes out the whole side of the building. Green has got clear. Bond watches him go as he and Camille clamber down the rubble.
Wait here.
Green hobbles manically, dragging his injured foot. A plume of dust appears in the barren, empty desert. Bond is behind the wheel of a car. He stops, gets out, and flings Green to the ground.
You promised that you...
Let you go?
I answered your questions. I told you what you wanted to know about Quantum.
Yes, you did. And your friends would know that, so they're probably looking for you. But the good news is, you're in the middle of a desert.
He pulls a can of oil from the trunk.
Here. I bet you make it 20 miles before you consider drinking that. Goodbye, Mr. Green.
Green stares down at the can and at the car as it drives away across the vast, empty desert. An elderly couple sit on a wooden bench on a rail platform. A uniformed official strides out of the faded station and across the tracks. Bond's car arrives at the depot. A local swigs beer as the car comes to a stop.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Are you all right?
Fine. But I keep thinking, he's dead. Now what?
Well, the dam we saw will have to come down. And there'll be others, too. Someone who worked for Green might be of help.
Not a bad idea. Do you think they'll be able to sleep now?
I don't think the dead care about vengeance.
I wish I could set you free. But your prison is in there.
She strokes his face. He leans across and kisses her. They look sadly at each other, and she gets out of the car. He drives away as she heads for the station. Snow is falling thickly on square apartment blocks at night. A title reads, Kazan, Russia. A couple, arm in arm, approach one of the blocks. They enter an apartment. Sitting in the dark, waiting, is Bond.
Fine. Anything for an easy life.
Sit down.
Sit down!
It's okay, baby.
A Walther PPK sits comfortably in Bond's black-gloved hand. It points straight at the man. Bond's blue eyes are icy with fury at the man responsible for Vespa's death.
You're Canadian?
You work in Canadian intelligence? It's all right, I know you do. And knowing this man, I'd guess you have access to some very sensitive material, which you're going to be forced to give up. His life will be threatened, and because you love him, you won't hesitate. It's a beautiful necklace. Did he give it to you? I have one just like it. He gave it to a friend of mine. Someone very close to me. Your name is?
Corinne.
Corinne. Corinne, I suggest you leave now. You contact your people and you tell them to check their seals. They have a leak. Do it now, please. This man and I have some unfinished business.
She gets up and leaves.
Make it quick.
Bond's eyes bore into him. As Bond comes out into the snow, two agents walk indoors.
Is he still alive?
He is.
I'm surprised. Did you find what you were looking for?
Yes.
Good. I assume you have no regrets.
I don't. What about you?
Of course not. That would be unprofessional. They found Green dead in the middle of the Bolivian desert, of all places. Two bullets in the back of his skull. They found motor oil in his stomach. Does that mean anything to you?
Wish I could help.
You'll be glad to know I straightened things out with the Americans. Your friend Leiter's been promoted. He replaced Beam.
Well, then the right people kept their jobs.
Something like that.
Congratulations, you were right.
About what?
About Vespa. Ma'am.
Bond? I need you back.
I never left.
M gives a half smile as he walks off into the snowy night. He drops the necklace. His face is expressionless as he walks away. The necklace gleams in the snow. A white circle of light moves across the screen. Bond, in a tuxedo, walks into it. He turns and fires. Blood oozes down in front of the rifled gun barrel that was pointing at him. A title reads, Quantum of Solace. Two O's and a gun form 007. The cast. Daniel Craig as James Bond. Olga Kurylenko as Camille. Matthew Almerich as Dominic Green. Judi Dench as M. Giancarlo Giannini as Mathis. Gemma Arterton as Strawberry Fields. Jeffrey Wright as Felix Leiter, David Harbour as Greg Beam, Jesper Christensen as Mr. White, Anatole Talman as Elvis, Rory Kinnear as Tanner, Tim Pigott-Smith as Foreign Secretary, Joaquin Cosio as General Medrano, Fernando Guillén Cuervo as Colonel of Police, Jesus Ochoa as Lieutenant Orso, Lucrezia Lante de la Rovere as Gemma, Glenn Foster as Mitchell, Paul Ritter as Guy Gaines, Simon Cassianides as Yusef, Stana Katic as Corinne, Neil Jackson as Mr. Slate, Una Chaplin as Pela de las Dunas receptionist. The producers wish to thank Aston Martin, Bollinger, the Coca-Cola Company, Ford Motor Company, Heineken, Ocean Sky, the private jet company, Omega, Smirnoff, Sony Electronics, Sony Ericsson, Sunseeker International, and Virgin Atlantic. The producers gratefully acknowledge the cooperation of the citizens of Panama City and Colon, Siena and Lake Garda, Magistrato delle Contrade and Consorzio per la Tutela, and Palio di Siena, Bregenz Festival, the Festspielhaus Bregenz, and the city of Bregenz, Austria, European Southern Observatory, ESO, and Paranal Observatory. Made by Eon Productions and BZZ Limited, filmed at Pinewood Studios, London, England, and on location in Italy, Mexico, Panama, Chile, Austria, and England. James Bond will return. Quantum of Solace released by Columbia Pictures. Audio description by Deluxe, written by Roland Bean, voiced by Roland Bean, Michael Jones, and Helen Vasey. Further titles continue to scroll.